Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Jamie.
I'm Jamie Hill.
Hi.
It's nice to meet you.
What?
I'm just imagining, like, if this was if I were someone else and this was the first time I were doing the podcast, and I were just sat down across from you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not the case.
Nope, not the case.
We've been married for almost 10 years.
Yep. I'm just practicing for when I slowly lose all of my marbles.
Right, right. Well, that could happen.
Yeah.
Every morning. It's probably currently happening.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I am for sure a few marbles down already. Like 50 years from now, every morning I'm going to be like, it's so nice to meet you.
Oh, gosh.
Meeting somebody in bed. How exciting. Oh, my goodness. Hey, welcome, everyone, to episode 16 of the Misfit Stars podcast.
Yeah.
It's so nice to have you all here. As always, we would love to welcome our new listeners, and we want to say thank you to our new supporters. You are the lifeblood of this podcast. Thank you so much for supporting our podcast.
I had this moment yesterday. I was like, oh my gosh, people are like listening to this and they're actually like supporting it. And
it's
I had this moment of just one of those like deep gratitude moments, you know, where I was like, Oh, wow. Wow. Thank you.
I know. It's really, really cool. We had set this goal for ourselves when we started off. Like, we have incremental goals for things, you know, and one of our goals, the first one we had set, is that when we get to 100 supporters, we're going to do some more stuff. We're going to start doing like live broadcast mini concerts.
Yep.
And I'm going to play the keyboard and you're going to sing and I'm going to maybe sing backup. It's going to be amazing. And we're 70% of the way there.
Oh my gosh.
Right? And we've only been doing this podcast since like November?
Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
So do you know how many more supporters we need to get to that first goal?
I mean, the goal is 100. We're at 70. We need 30 more.
Okay. We need 30 more people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everyone tell a friend.
It could happen. That's so fun. So thank you, those of you who are supporting us. We appreciate it. If you're not a supporter.
Oh my gosh, you should be. If you're listening to this and you're not a supporter, I mean, first of all, just thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Giving us your ears is a big deal and we're so grateful for that. And I'll honestly kind of like befuddled, like, why would you do that? It's really cool, but thank you.
Yes.
And you could help make this thing grow bigger and you could help support its continued existence by becoming a Misfit Stars member.
Yeah. So the way you do that is you go to our misfitstars.com. That's the website where our little podcast lives on the interwebs. Mm-hmm. And there are two big pink buttons. It's a choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
The second of those two big pink buttons says unlock all episodes, which takes you to the page where you can sign up to become a member of this podcast.
Yeah, it's quick, it's easy, it's cheap.
Yeah, and the unlocking the episodes refers to the fact that every other one of these podcast episodes is a members exclusive episode.
That's right.
The moment you become a supporting member, you have available to you, unlocked to you, all of the previous members exclusive episodes.
Yeah.
So you can go back into history and listen to the ones that were previously locked and going forward.
You can binge.
Yeah, you can binge.
Binging is a thing the kids do with stuff these days. You don't just sit down and listen like every week, like at the time we put it out, like we're forcing you to do a certain thing at a certain time. No, you listen at your own time.
On your own time, on your own schedule, as much as or as little as you want. So that's how you become a member. And thank you for those of you who decide to do that right now.
Yeah, we're so grateful for you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit later on this episode.
Easy for you to say, Shannon.
We're going to get into a listener topic. And again, our listener topics are always suggested by our Misfit Stars members.
Our supporting members.
Our stars, as we call them.
Is that corny?
No.
A little bit, but in a good way.
I don't care. I like it.
Hey, if it's wrong, I don't want to be right.
That's right. And so this week's listener topic is from our member, our star, Scott.
Scott, yes.
It's about dirty words.
Whoa, scandalous.
It's actually going to be a pretty fun conversation, I think. So that's going to be our listener topic later on.
In this episode. So what did we get into this week, Shannon?
Oh, gosh. All I can think about this week is when's the next time I can get upstairs to my writing studio and keep writing. I've been on a total writing tear.
Writing
songs for a new album.
Like, I've been lonely.
Have you been lonely?
Oh, yeah. It's the Where's Shannon time of the year.
Oh.
I'm just sitting down on the couch doing web development. Very sad.
Oh.
Shannon's sitting upstairs having the time of her life, singing, writing, being all creative. My creative time comes later because, like, she's a starter. I'm a finisher. So I got to wait for her to do all the starting before I can start my finishing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, so I've been...
But I get so jealous.
I've been collecting ideas. I know you're eager. You're chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
I've been collecting... This is how I do it all the time. I collect ideas, little snippets of thoughts. Topics I want to explore.
You kind of scrapbook them in your phone,
right? I kind of scrapbook like lyrical ideas and also like little melodic ideas in my voice recorder.
Total side note about this, but because Shannon has been listening to her voice recorder on her phone a whole lot, lately when we've been getting in the car does this thing where it connects, Shannon's phone is the phone that connects to Bluetooth. And so like her phone will connect to Bluetooth. For whatever reason, voice recorder, and it doesn't do this with Spotify or any other app, but voice recorder turns the car stereo on and starts playing the last voice recorder thing that Shannon was listening to. So like we'll start the car and all of a sudden at volume 11 comes in Shannon tunefully singing into her phone some little melodic fragment.
Some little it's wordless.
Like, what?
Yeah. It's terrible. So yeah, so I collect those little ideas and then I get upstairs and I start putting them into songs. And so I started officially writing for this new record last Monday. And
like 8 days ago.
Yeah. I want to tell you, I've had such a great week. I finished my fourth song on Sunday night.
That's wild
to me. This last week. So I've been like seriously on a tear.
That's four songs in 6 days because you took the last like yesterday and today you haven't written.
Right.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So I've been on a tear. It's all I can think about. I apologize. I'm so sorry that you're lonely while I'm up there.
No, it's fine.
First of all. Secondly, I apologize that like every time that I'm actually with you, even if we're in conversation, really in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about what I'm going to go upstairs and work on next. Like I'm totally preoccupied.
Now like, you know what it's like to be me.
Completely.
Trying so hard to focus on conversation with the single person I love the most.
I know.
Often failing.
I know.
Very relatable.
But it's going really well. And I had like, I think I've talked on the podcast before about how, you know, a lot of my previous records have been sort of theme based.
Yeah.
And I think I talked last week maybe about how this new record, I had sort of a general idea of a theme, but I'm leaving myself a little bit more wiggle room to sort of explore ideas and not like, not necessarily start from that theme place. But I had this like aha moment midweek last week as I was writing that sort of really helped me sort of crystallize where I think the theme is going. And it sort of came in the midst of writing some of the songs. So
really?
my plan to sort of give myself a little wiggle room, I think is panning out.
I have this theory as a producer, and we touched on this last week, that there's always a through line to any given body of work.
Yeah.
And it sounds like sometimes you go in with the through line in your mind ahead of time and you write to it. And sometimes you have more of like an idea of what the body will be and the through line makes itself apparent.
Yeah. It was starting to become apparent last week. So I'm super excited. I'm just having so much fun. Like, There's always part of me before I start writing a record that task feels daunting and I'm like, oh gosh, I've got to start, you know, and it's just hard to start things sometimes. But then once I'm in it, and this is the case this time, like now that I'm in it, it's all I want to do.
That's great.
I'm having so much fun. And
good.
So that's what I've been doing. How about you?
I'm so excited to hear that. I'm so excited to hear the songs. Because like for those people who don't know, like the way it works is that Shannon like writes and records the first versions of all the songs and I don't hear them at all, right? Like all I hear is like just the voice part of it coming like down through the walls. And that's it, right? And in a very muffled way because we have like some doors separating us. And so like there's no musical bed under it. So I have all these ideas in my mind.
Of what it might be.
Of what like it might be. And inevitably it's totally different and it contextualizes it in a way that's much cooler than what I had thought of in my mind.
That's
because
so
you're such a good songwriter, Shannon.
Aw, thanks.
No, it's true. And that was a crazy voice.
It was.
What kind of voice was that?
It was a childish, like, shucks kind of voice.
It was good. It was like a cartoon voice.
It was kind of cartoony.
Yeah, cartoon Shannon saying thank you. And I'm just so excited to hear the songs.
Yeah.
I'm in that sort of in-betweeny phase right now with it where I'm just, you know, sitting downstairs. So what I've been doing is I have been working on a major rebrand for the stuff that I do.
It's so exciting.
It is exciting. So I have been, for the last like 10 years, and even before that, I mean, back to when I was like doing touring, I had set up like a little thing for myself as Secret Agent Audio Services.
That's what you've been. That's who you've been.
Yeah. And it started with touring. And honestly, it started with that because back in the day, like my friend Rick had made a whole bunch of our friend group in San Francisco at the time, all these like pretend business cards, like superhero business cards, right? And like our friend Sandwich was Master of Disguise and I was Secret Agent. And we all had like these sort of, you know, Gotham kind of superhero names.
And yes, Jamie does have a friend whose name is Sandwich. Just FYI.
Not given.
it's her nickname, but yeah. So anyway, for those of you who are like, what, a friend named Sandwich?
What?
Yes, that's true.
Right.
Okay, so.
And so Rick had made me these, like my business card was Secret Agent. And like when I first started like making the transition into doing music full time, doing sound and touring and stuff like that, I had absolutely no money to get new business cards.
So,
and
hey,
these ones said
these.
Secret Agent. So I just made a website to match it because you can make a website for free, right?
Yeah.
And so I made the website, you know, be Secret Agent Audio Services.
Right.
And like I've gone with that that now since 2004. Wow. So it's been about 15 years. And while I love it, it has just started to feel a little bit like just old to me, you know, like yesterday's news. And so I thought up a new name and I've done some new graphic design around it.
Are you prepared to share your new name
yet? Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
it's no
what
big
is
secret.
It? What's your new name for your business?
It's the Department of Energy Management.
I love it.
It's, I think, a very good play on words.
It's a very good play on words. Yeah,
it's a joke. Get it?
It's a joke. Because what you've described to me before is what you feel like your job is as a producer and as a mixer and recording engineer. Like all along the, throughout that whole process, each of those aspects of what you do, you are managing the energy of whatever's happening. So like if you're in a studio session, you are managing the energy of capturing an artist's performance, you know, making sure that it's that the energy in the room is, you know, flowing for the best possible outcome, right? Not to mention the actual energy moving through the cables and and the things that you're working on.
I know, there's a lot of tie-ins.
But then like the mixing, like it's about building a story and a song and you know, sculpting the energy of a song to bring a listener through the experience in a way that you want to.
Yeah.
I love your new name.
Oh,
I think
love
it's
it.
So
there's
great.
All these things, right? There's interpersonal energy, there's electrical energy, there's communicational energy, like all those things
it's
you just
so
touched
good.
Upon. Yeah, I love it. And so I'm going graphically with sort of a factory kind of theme, like imagining the building, like the actual utility. The Department of Energy Management in Tacoma.
I'm so excited for you to launch it. Hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon, I've probably got, I don't know, I'm guessing another 40 hours of web dev. But, you know, I'm just doing it like a full-time job right now, banging out 8 hours a day, and it's getting done.
Right on. We are doing things besides working, though. This week, it's been so beautiful and sunny in
We're
Tacoma.
We're looking at clear blue skies out this window right now as we are recording this podcast.
Yeah, and this is not the first day. It's been this gorgeous for days and days in a row now.
It's like the fourth day in a row.
This weekend, we tuned up our bikes, and we got on our bicycles and took a ride. It was the first time we've done that in town here. It was so fun.
We didn't do it at all last spring. We were too busy. Yep. I mean, we've touched on this, but last spring was a flat-out sprint from when we moved to when we left on tour.
Yeah.
Like, so we didn't have time to, like, ride a bike somewhere.
Soaking up the sun and getting on bikes. It was wonderful. Yeah. It was really good. We did some, like, putting around in the yard a little bit.
Yeah.
Not really yard work. We were doing, like exterior home maintenance.
We were doing an exterior version of something that I'm obsessed with in the studio, which is cable management, right? Are all the cables as neatly arranged as they could possibly be? And the house has been here since 1945, so it's lived through several iterations of telephone service and, like, cable TV and like two versions of internet, and all those cables and the boxes associated with them are just on the side of the house, or were.
Yeah.
But because we identified all of them, minimized all of them, rerouted stuff. It was really cool.
It was really fun. And like at one point we're like, well, we're not using it. We don't have a home telephone line, right? Like so many people don't anymore. And so there was a telephone line going into the house, and we eliminated that. And a friend of ours who works on houses, who does construction and stuff like that, you called him to ask for advice, like, can you actually just cut a telephone line? He's like, well, yeah. He's like, if you want to, you could just, like, you know, trim it back as far as you can toward the pole and have it. We decided we couldn't actually, we needed a cherry picker to get up the pole.
Like, well, you want to trim it where it comes off the pole, because otherwise it's attached where it's
way
coming
high
off the wire, like 30 feet in the air, and then it would be dangling down to as high as I can reach with my snippers, which is about 8 feet, and just be twisting in the breeze, and that would be not a good
look. Yeah.
I like that our friend suggested that, though.
I know.
The screw it approach, which I endorse.
Yeah.
Generally in life.
Last night we went to this great event up in Seattle. It was the first time that we visited the Smith Tower in Seattle, which is, it was Seattle's first skyscraper. That's what they, that's how they build it. It was Seattle's first skyscraper. 42 stories.
It says, like, in the plaque on the side of the building, like the thing where it says, like, the name of the building in this, like, bronze plaque that they put on the building when they opened it, it says Smith Tower, 42 stories.
It does. It was so cute.
It's so cute.
I read that it was, for 50 years, it was the tallest building west of the Mississippi.
Yeah. And it was the fourth largest building in America when it was built, right?
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and it's beautiful.
It's so cool. Ugh. This art deco, you know, really pretty. And a dear friend of ours was giving a talk last night about a historical figure from Seattle who's called the Good Bootlegger.
Yeah.
His name was Roy Olmsted.
Yep.
And he was called the Good Bootlegger because he, well, first of all, he used to be a cop, and then he started being a bootlegger.
Yeah.
But he had this, like, strict code of honor. There were no guns allowed.
Nope.
And there were no other vices, like, sort of like encouraged in his business.
This wasn't like Al Capone.
This was not Al Capone. So there was no prostitution, no drugs, no guns, no violence of any kind.
No gambling, no nothing.
But he
strictly focused on booze.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to, and his code of ethics also was like, he wasn't going to stiff either his suppliers or his customers. He wasn't going to water down the product. It was going to be a reliable source of quality illegal liquor.
I know. It was fascinating to learn about this. And apparently he amassed massive amounts of money.
He was making in 1918 dollars, $250,000 a month at the peak of his operation, which is like a factor of 10. So it's like $2.5 million a month.
That's wild.
And this is before.
So wild.
These days, we're kind of used to there being like just millionaires everywhere because someone will have some idea on the internet and you can scale things so amazingly quickly on the internet that like you can have a relatively mediocre idea and make $100 million.
Like Kylie Jenner becoming the youngest billionaire. We don't have to get into that. But
interestingly, she did it by actually selling a physical product.
Well, she did, right? But she also was able to do that because of her massive amounts of fame, wealth, and privilege that went to her.
Yeah. She did not start at home plate and hit a home run.
Yeah.
She started on like second or third base.
Yes.
And did good getting to home.
But we digress because Holmes said, there was no kind of scaling this kind of operation to make that kind of money back then. Really impressive.
No, you did it one bottle of booze at a time.
Yeah. It was
so good.
Fascinating.
It was
a
really cool talk. And it was in the observatory deck room, which is like a Chinese themed top floor room, which is just unbelievably gorgeous. Wraparound views of the city.
We went out on the observation deck and we both got woozy. It was just like, can't stand being out here.
It's hell. Like there's a cage thing that goes all the way up and around you. It's physically impossible to get out of it, but yet it still seems like you would fall not just off the face of the building, but maybe the face of the earth.
Yeah, it's true. And there's an apartment.
Like you would fall and go up and just you would be gone.
There's an apartment even above that, which we came home and obsessively looked at photos of on the internet as well. It's this like pyramid shape at the top and this family lives up there. Mm. They've been living up there for a long time, like ever since her little girls were like young, like 2-3 years old, you know, which is what they learned to ride their bikes on the observatory deck,
which is nuts to me. But I mean, you can't fall out, so I guess it's fine.
It's crazy. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Those little girls are going to be daredevils when they grow up. They're going to have absolutely no fear of heights. It's going to be really cool.
I know it. Well, that was our second trip to Seattle the last week, right?
We went to Seattle not once, but twice.
Whoa, big trip, big city. So we went last week.
On Wednesday.
We were invited to be panelists at a seminar. What do you call it?
A little bit of a seminar. There's this thing called General Assembly, and they're like a continuing education company, right?
Yeah.
And they have offices like all over the country and the world.
Yeah.
Like a couple dozen of them or something. And they it's like continuing ed, and you can do all these different things. Like you can do like a 3-month intensive seminar where you come in not learning any code and you come out being able to get a job coding at Amazon.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's apparently really good.
Yeah.
And they have like all of these, and just kind of like things for the community where like you can just come in and sign up and come in for free and just come see people talk about stuff that might be inspiring to you as you consider a career transition or a change in path or you might get some inspiration in general about stuff. And we got invited to be on a panel.
Because one of our stars works at GA.
Yeah.
Madison.
Shout out to Madison.
And so she invited us to come be part of this panel. And you know, she's a friend, she's a star, and she asks us to do it. I'm going to be like, yeah, of course I'll do that.
Of course.
But then it's like, what do we have to say to people who are like looking at a career shift in doing like, you know, work in tech or database
like
management?
Corporate.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know a darn thing about any of that stuff.
Like the two other people on the panel, like one of them is a coder at Amazon and one of them is like an HR person at Boeing. And we're like, what the hell are we doing here?
I'm an artist.
I felt almost like a little bit intimidated or something in. Like a little bit like imposter syndrome.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, the panel was titled How to Find Work That Matters, right? And
I guess we were theoretically the examples of people who have done that.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean,
maybe HR is super meaningful.
Maybe.
I'm sure for some people it's a lifelong passion.
That the woman who was on the panel seems to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. So I think I felt imposter syndrome-y also. Going into it. But you know what was interesting about it was it like being on the panel and getting to respond to the questions that they had.
Yeah.
It was an interesting opportunity to sort of reflect on what we do and like snapshot of like who we are and what we do in our life right now in March of 2019. But it wasn't always this, right? Like there was a place where we started and did we envision being in this place, or what was happening back then when we got our careers going?
Yeah.
It was an interesting look back. You know what I mean? And so I thought that would be an interesting thing for us to talk about today on the podcast.
And I think you were right.
Yeah.
Why don't we jump in?
Okay.
So what we decided to do is to use just sort of some of the things that they talked with us about as kind of jumping off points for our discussion.
Yeah.
And just kind of like recontextualize them and sort of revisit them in a different way.
Yeah. It was an interesting look. So yeah.
So yeah, the first thing that they sort of had us talk about is like, why do we do what we do? And what about it feels like it matters, which was a really neat thing to sort of just kind of, because you don't think about it when you're in the middle of it,
right? Yeah. Like, I think what matters to me, like if I'm looking at the snapshot of what I do in my work and my life right now in March 2019, like I think what matters about it to me is, I'm doing work that I enjoy. That's nice.
Yeah.
But also I'm doing work that I think it has the goal of, and hopefully it achieves the goal of connecting people with each other and with themselves mm-hmm. in a deeper way,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
around ideas. You know, I've said this before, and I think I've said this before on this podcast, like I don't do music because I like music. I do what I do because I like because I love people, you know? And I do love music. That is a tool.
You don't hate music.
I don't hate it.
It's not like you're just grinding it out here.
Yeah. I'm loving writing my album right now. Like I'm enjoying that process very much. But that's not the end goal. You know, the making a good song is not the end goal.
Right.
Right? The making a song, the recording a song is the tool to communicate an idea or an emotion or a question that hopefully connects with people that will listen to it in a way that makes them think about something a little differently or feel something a little different or a little deeper or connect with others, you know, about in some way. So mm-hmm. like when I think about what matters about what I do or what I think matters, it's that. It's the trying to foster connections, you know, with people. Yeah. So how about you?
So for me, you know, similar answer, slightly different take on it, but, you know, I do what I do, I mean, primarily because I've always been obsessed with music and always kind of hoped, I didn't know, like I kind of knew in a non-specific way when I was a kid that I was going to do music when I grew up, but like, I kind of, I think thought that more I would do it like as just a lifelong thing that I did in addition to a real job.
A hobby, yeah.
yeah, right? Uh-huh. Which is a perfectly valid way to do music.
Absolutely.
Or any kind of art. But, you know, I help people like communicate with the world. I help people get out into the world something that's in their heart that they want to share, like a feeling or emotion that they want to communicate to another person or people.
Right.
And you know, what about that feels like it matters? I mean, it's the answer's right there on the tin, you know?
Right.
It just seems like the more I get to do it and the more I get to do it for the right reasons and work on stuff that people are communicating from a really honest place, a really like mm-hmm. place, hopefully divorced from commerce, you know, at mm-hmm. least at the root of it, you know, that I get to really do something valuable for myself mm-hmm. and also hopefully for the world, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So for me, like when I just said what matters to me about the work that I do, I didn't always have an understanding of that that's what it was going to be here in this snapshot of time. Like when I started, I didn't understand that this was where I was headed. So like one of the questions they asked us in the thing was sort of like, where were some of the aha moments or like, you know, how did you get started, right? And what was it for you?
As far as like making the transition, like just coming to an understanding that I could do stuff with music that like would actually allow me to support myself was a huge turning mm-hmm. point in my evolution, you mm-hmm. know? Because like I was just proceeding on this path through my 20s of like having a day job and also doing music in a hobbyist kind of way. And I wanted so badly not to be doing the day job.
Right.
It was sucking out my soul and the company I was working for was getting worse and worse and worse. I don't want to name names, but it was Wells Fargo. You're terrible.
Hey, Jamie, how come the audio of this podcast is like fading out and going away? What's going on?
That's a great question, Shannon. Here's the deal. It's doing that because this is a member exclusive episode of Misfit Stars.
Meaning that just exclusively members of Misfit Stars get to hear the rest of it?
That's exactly what that means. Yeah. It's just like a subscription based thing, right?
I see.
This podcast operates in part on a subscription premise.
Every other episode.
Yeah, so like every other episode, you can just listen to publicly for free, and like that's great. And Whee! If you don't have a podcast budget, that's wonderful, and we're so glad you're here, and thank you for Yay! Listening to the free parts, and thank you for giving us your time. Wow, so cool. Woo-hoo! But let's say, for example, that you really want to hear the rest of this episode, which, spoiler alert, you totally do.
It's actually a great episode.
It was a really fun discussion. I had a great time doing this
yes.
one.
Yes.
What you want to do is you want to subscribe and become a supporting member of the Misfit Stars podcast, because by doing so, you will unlock this episode and also all the other 50% of the podcast episodes that are locked.
That's right. And in addition to that, by becoming a member, you're actually helping us do this.
Yeah.
And saying, yes, I like this. I want to put my support behind this podcast.
Here's something interesting. We have this goal. We're at 100 podcast supporters. We are going to start doing live mini concerts like once a month. And
when we get to 100.
Yeah, when we get to 100. And we're at like 70 or 71 right now. Meaning that like we're actually getting really close. So if you're a listener to this and you want a little bit of an incentive to sort of start pitching in, hey, you and 28 more people will make this thing happen. And then
right.
we'll have like these cool concerts where we'll play a bunch of like Shannon songs. But like I'll be playing keyboard
and I'm gonna sing
and I might even sing backups if I can figure it out.
How fun.
They'll be enthusiastic if not 100% tuneful.
I hope we get to do that soon. So go to misfitstars.com. That's where you can take care of this becoming a member thing.
Yep.
The second big pink button says unlock all episodes.
Click it. Do it.
It takes you to the page. You choose your membership level. You can choose what works for you. Mm-hmm. There's some cool stuff you can get, like a t-shirt or a sticker pack if you want to do those levels.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you.
Yeah, so much. We really appreciate your support. So get it done. MisfitStars.com, second big pink button. Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.